I think the one thing that I think would be awesome if the media started asking questions about is just the nature of the contradictions. So the contradiction that exists in the guidance that's coming out from IDPH and ISB versus what are we going to do with fall sports? What's that going to look like? Right? I mean, those two things seem to be in direct contradiction to one another at this moment. Iowa, Missouri, Indiana, those seem pretty similar to downstate Illinois, yet they're not operating similarly. It's hard for us in leadership right now to really make effective decisions in the midst of what seems to be conflicting and contradictory, both policy and data. That's hard to do. Okay, so think about this. If within my buildings, I can have congregation of up to 50 in singular spaces, potentially, but they do need to be socially distanced and they do need to wear masks. Current guidance, at least as I understand it and have read it, suggests that we need to have masks on inside of our buildings. Okay. But if we're going to have football in the fall, for example, difficult to socially distance by 6 feet, impossible to wear a mask. If ISB is going to introduce guidance that is, and IDPH is going to introduce guidance inside of our buildings that is more restrictive than what it's going to be on, say, the football field or the volleyball court, and then I'm going to integrate those same kids into the same hallways and into the same homes, how do those things work together? And if our student athletes who are going to compete, I mean, do they have a right to know whether or not they have an opportunity to play in the fall or not? Is that a decision that should be made at this point in time? Fully acknowledge all these decisions are incredibly difficult. There are no right answers in this moment in time. There's only the best answer given the information we have in the moment. So, we right now are trying to operate under the philosophy of let's go patiently with a great deal of grace for the people that are having to make these decisions and recognize that August could look very, very different than June. No, I think that's true, but so put yourself in the seat of a superintendent, right? You have a public communication about what athletics is potentially going to look like and how we're going to execute. And so under the presumption that, okay, so if we're operating under the idea that we're going to play football in the fall, but you're sending me information that's going to tell me my kids have to wear a mask inside the building, that just doesn't seem to correlate, right? So now the school superintendent, you sit in the middle of that contradiction. That's a really difficult place to be because if you can reconcile that, it'd be great, but I don't know how to reconcile those two positions. Well, to some degree, I've been fortunate. I don't know if fortunate is the right word, but I've been a part of a statewide planning group that's trying to put together a process to really plan to execute given what we know in this moment. So how do you actually operationalize school? So if to effectively run my bus route, I need 60 kids to a bus, if the capacity of my bus will allow that, but I'm limited to transportation to 49. So 49 students plus a driver. Okay, so now those 49 students have to be in a mask. Okay, who's gonna supervise that and make sure that they remain in a mask? How does it affect transportation if to actually execute in transportation, I need 60 students on my bus, not 50, and at 50, it means that I've got to run a completely different route orientation, or I got to run more routes, or I have to have more buses and more drivers, right? So this process of not just from an athletic standpoint, but just in general, how do I operationalize the delivery of school given the restrictions? And if I do operationalize that, am I really delivering the most effective instruction for students? Right. There's no simplicity in what we're dealing with right now. There just isn't. So what they have said, what they've said now is they've moved to, they will allow us to transport up to 49 students. So 49 students plus a driver on our buses. I think that's what's in ISBE's guidance right now. Right? So, but if I have a 72 capacity bus, for example, and to make all my bus routes work, it requires that that bus be at 90% capacity. So now if I can't, because the rule does not allow me to, how do I then operationalize? So do we encourage more transportation by parents to get their kids to school? Is that what I do? Or do I run multiple bus routes? Do I change my routing system? Right? Being able to go from the reality of delivering school for kids and then take this guidance and squeeze school into that guidance, does it work? Can we actually do that? There's just a lot of challenges to that. It is simply not simple at all. Yeah. So we went into this with what we see as the primary premise of what we do in our school system is to be responsive to our local taxpayers, the people who pay the majority of the bill for the delivery of education in our school system. We need to be responsive to them. So we needed to know where they were at. So we gave a very quick 6-question survey. And so we asked, number one, do you anticipate that your students will attend school in the fall? So the options were, yes, my child's going to come to school. Yes, with special accommodations. Or no, I'm reluctant based upon the given context of where we're at with COVID in the country right now. And so we have 96% of our people want to send their kids back to school. And then we asked questions about masks because people were. And then we asked about utilization of food service and transportation. And then do our parents have the ability to take temperatures at home? Because we obviously think everything either is propped up or falls down around the idea, if we can just keep students and staff who do not feel well, if we can keep them out of the school environment, that is arguably the most helpful thing that we can do. And then the last question was on internet access. So if we do have to deliver remote instruction again, what is our relative level of internet access for all families? Yeah, so our question was about whether or not your children feel comfortable wearing a face covering or mask to the school if deemed mandatory by the Illinois Department of Public Health. So not us as Leroy, but if the Department of Public Health says you're required to wear a mask. We had 26% said they're comfortable. 45% said they're comfortable but limited to things such as passing periods and on the bus. 27% said they're not comfortable. And then whatever that balance is, my child's medically unable to wear a mask. So the other piece of the survey was we allowed for just comment, right? So just an open-ended comment section. And I think the not comfortable, and I think this would make sense, that you have people who simply don't believe that for kids, wearing a mask is that relevant to their health and well-being. And I think that seems reasonable, probably, just on the demographic of people and where they sit on this virus. But in some of the comment that we got, it was, I simply... It's uncomfortable, difficult to wear. My kids they'll play with it the entire time. They won't wear it right. And they just wrote that off as, no, they're not comfortable doing that. The idea of being in a mask for 7 hours just doesn't seem reasonable for their children. I don't think that number should be surprising to anybody that people would fall in that spot. So I think it'll be interesting to see where the mask conversation evolves over the next month and a half. Simply because I like I said, I think there are going to be people who acknowledge that their kids either are not comfortable doing it and not wearing a mask. So I think we're gonna wait and see how that evolves. And then we'll make some decisions. I would say right now in this moment, we would say that wearing a mask in these scenarios and situations would be recommended, that we think that that's a benefit to the health and the wellness of all of our kids and our staff. I think if we had a staff member who was at high risk, but was willing to come in and teach, to ask students to wear a mask while they're in his or her classroom, I think that's a reasonable request given on what we know of the virus. But again, it's going to come down to what is our board willing to support? What is our community willing to support? What is our insurance carrier willing to support and back? We're at a point in time where ISBE's guidance is 48 hours old. I don't think any of us know today where we'll be in August. I think it'd be unfair to say that we know exactly what it's going to look like. So what we would ask is, you know, we're going to make the best plan based on what we know today and be willing to adjust as new data becomes available. I think at this moment in time, I think they are requiring it. I think that's the way I read the guidance. I think you can definitely have that conversation, right? So here's one of the other questions that everybody's trying to figure out. Is guidance law? So does that create a mandate? So do you have to? Does anybody have the legal authority to make us, it doesn't matter where we're at, does anybody have the legal authority to make us wear a mask? Right. I think I don't know the answer to that, and I don't have a position one way or another on that. But I think that's a question that people are asking. It'd be wonderful if there would be an answer to that question before we get to school in the fall. Well, so I think what our board will take decisive action on is a first and temporary draft of what the fall could look like. I think then they'll continue to work to seek feedback from the community to see exactly where our community is. At the end of the day, our responsibility is to serve our community and our kids. So I don't know that there will be decisive action taken until we get a lot closer. That's one piece. I think the challenge becomes the lack of the challenge is it's just there's so much unknown, right? There are simply no right answers in this situation. And there are a lot of opinions and a lot of theory. But I don't know that anybody knows what the right answer is in this moment in time. That's the biggest challenge. We're an institution that seeks right answers in education. And right now, I don't know that there is one. I think it's too soon to say. I go back to our responsibility is to communicate at least, so to take the feedback from our community, listen to what they have to say, build a plan based upon that feedback that we believe to be reasonable, compare that plan to what the guidance is of the agencies that are responsible for oversight, determine what the gap is that exists between our plan and what the agency guidance is, and then determine how far our community is willing to move to support that guidance. And to me, that's the process when you're a public school, because you're designed not only to educate, but also to serve your community and at least acknowledge the oversight that exists from the governmental agencies that oversee public education, right? It's all that balancing effort, which is not very easy to do. Yeah. Our hope would be, because I think regardless of the mask issue, I think we will have students and families, who until there's a vaccine or a really reliable treatment, will be reluctant to put their students back into the public school. I think that's going to happen throughout the country. But because of that, our objective is going to be to try and deliver in-class instruction and remote instruction simultaneously, so that if you're a student who's at home for whatever reason, and you're supposed to be in your English 1 class first period, that there's a way for you to plug into your English 1 class first period. And then my teacher is in effect teaching students in front of him and students at home simultaneously. That would be our objective. So that it gives parents the full right and power to choose, and gives us the ability to provide direct instruction to all kids. Given this pandemic, if we can figure out how to leverage the right technology to be able to do that, that would be our objective. I think we could provide that option, yeah. So again, are we going to have flexibility around masks or not? In this moment in time, we don't, but I don't know what August is going to look like. But if you're operating on the assumption that there'll be no flexibility on masks, then that parent can choose, right? My child is not comfortable in a mask. I'm not comfortable with them being in a mask all day long. So we're going to choose to engage remotely. Okay. Or they choose to conform, whatever the case may be. I think we have to empower, given all the uncertainty of what COVID brings to the table, I think we've got to find reasonable ways to allow parents and students to choose based upon what they believe to be in their best interest. You go out in Bloomington Normal every day, right? Right? That's a societal concern, right? So that societal concern matches up with public schools. So I don't think any one of us is any more responsible or any more worried about that, or any less worried or less responsible than anybody else. I mean, right now, that's a societal concern that we all share. You go to Meijer and you go through the store and somebody's wearing one and somebody's not. So when you ask me that question, it almost feels like me taking a position is kind of a gotcha question when we're all dealing with the same concern, right? I mean, that's all of us. Well, right. So Eric, think about my data, right? So 27% of my people are going to say, I don't think wearing the mask is all that significant and worrisome with my school-age children. I have 25% that are saying, no, they should absolutely wear it. And 45% to sit in the middle of it. Yeah, so it's 100% split. The lack of clarity is incredibly challenging. Right? I think it is for all of us, right? I mean, walk into Menards, walk into Lowe's, walk into all these different, go sit and have dinner at Rob Dobbs. Okay. Are you fully 6 feet away? What if the wind's blowing to the right or to the left? And where am I sitting? Right. I mean, we're all wrestling with this unknown of this virus. It's there's so many challenges with where we're at right now.